Brian Bulaga is locked up. Devon House signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tremont Williams is visiting the New Orleans Saints. The Packers tendered Don Barclay and Sean Richardson, but they did not with Jarrett Boykin and Dewan Harris. It was a busy day with the opening of NFL free agency on Tuesday, and we'll catch up with Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We are recapping the opening of NFL free agency. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us. Wes, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you today?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. We got a lot to talk about. Let me kick it off by asking, did it surprise you that Brian Bulaga turned down, apparently, more money elsewhere to return to Green Bay?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of very similar in a lot of ways to what happened with Randall Cobb. I kind of was about 50-50, 55-45 on it, whether or not he'd be back. And the only reason I think, really, I was more kind of up in the air about whether, you know, Bulaga would be back than Cobb was because, you know, it depended on NFL teams. You know, both of those guys are probably the best at their position going into the free agent market. But, you know, the thing about Bulaga is that, you know, $7 million, $8 million, that's a lot for a right tackle. But if there was a team out there that wanted to move him to left tackle, that might have ended up being a deal when you look at some of these deals that these top flight guys are making at that spot. So, obviously, he made a decision, wanted to stay with the Green Bay Packers. You can see what Ted Thompson's certainly doing. He has a salary structure in place, and he doesn't look like he's willing to forsake that. Jordy Nelson, $9.75 million a year. Randall Cobb's just a hair above that. It looks like the deal, we haven't seen the exact finalized terms on Bulaga, but it looks like his contract is almost identical right now to what Josh Sitton signed in 2011, 5 years, $33.75 million off of Chris Mortensen's report last night. So to get to him back, I think it puts the Packers in a really unique situation. There's not a lot of chances in this day and age in the NFL to keep an entire offensive line and really an entire offense together for at least two seasons, barring injury, of course. So a great opportunity for them. Bulaga came in, came back, showed that he still had plenty left in the tank after missing those 23 consecutive regular season games. And I have to imagine right now, Ted Thompson, regardless of how the rest of the cards are going to fall in free agency, he knocked off the two biggest check marks on his offseason list with getting Cobb and Bulaga back.
Well, it's interesting you brought up the Josh Sitton comparison. And I just, you know, not long ago, I saw Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel send out a tweet. And, you know, there's so many people covering the Green Bay Packers. I don't know if anybody else has expressed this as well. If they have, I just missed it. But he said the Packers were kind of didn't want to give Bulaga $7 million because they didn't want to pay him more than Josh Sitton. Now, the thing that occurred to me, does that hardline stance seem at all inconsistent, seeing as they just allowed Randall Cobb to surpass Jordy Nelson as the higher-paid player?
Yeah, and I'm guessing when it comes to Cobb, well, the way they validated that is, obviously, he was thrown around in his camp. Jimmy Sexton, his agent, was thrown around $11, $12 million a year. The Packers, they wanted to get him in that $8 to $9 million range, but obviously that wasn't going to get it done, especially after Thomas and Dez Bryant get the franchise tag. So they felt like it was necessary to stretch that number a little bit. Yeah, he's going to make a little bit more average per season than Nelson did. But if I'm Jordy Nelson, I think there also has to be an understanding that, you know, he's played his hand pretty conservatively during his NFL career. He signed a little too early for the sake of getting, you know, some security in his first contract in this past year. Again, just to make sure that he was going to be able to get that top-flight contract he wanted. He did it again in July. So If I'm Jordy Nelson, I think there has to be some understanding there that a guy like Randall Cobb really put himself out on a limb. If Cobb, you know, breaks his tibia again or you know, pops his ACL, well, then he's suddenly, you know, out of the big contract. So I think you reward Cobb for some of that. Again, the other thing, too, and Pete Doherty wrote about it after looking at the contract, Cobb still is making some really good money, $21 million over the first two seasons. I know there was that report, I think it was from the Sun Sentinel, Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that there was significant interest from the Miami Dolphins, but they were looking to kind of backload his contract. Well, you see what happened right now with how they're kind of unloading contracts. If Ryan Tannehill doesn't work out, if something doesn't, you know, goes awry, well, maybe in 2 years they decide mm-hmm. that they want to go a different direction. So $21 million over 2 years, knowing who your quarterback's going to be, I think that's a good deal for Cobb and for Blagan and Sitton. Obviously, both of those guys have been the catalyst on the offensive line, a really good, cohesive offensive line, and now they get to keep that unit together for two more years.
Okay, meanwhile, Tremont Williams is apparently in New Orleans visiting the Saints. Are they going to let him leave town without offering a contract?
You know, Jeff Duncan from the Times-Picayune down in New Orleans, a writer, a columnist I really respect, he made an interesting tweet last night, and I made sure to point to retweet it, saying that, because I don't know a lot about the Saints and how they operate with their front office, but he said when they bring in guys on tryouts, they typically don't let them leave, or it's just the tryouts, but when they come in on visits, they don't let them leave. And I'm really interested to see how that situation plays out, because obviously, that's where his family's from. That's where him and his wife are from. He went to college there, went to high school there, grew up there in the state of Louisiana. So it's an interesting predicament. And obviously, Mickey Loomis and the Saints have made it a big point that they're going to be looking to improve that defense. I think Tremont Williams would do that for them. At the same time, if you're the Packers, now there's a lot of questions after Devon Housley's. I don't blame them for not paying him the contract that he got from Jacksonville. They're really banking on a lot of his potential. That's probably not proven at this point, but a lot of potential is there, and they paid him premium dollar for it. The cornerback market has really kind of gotten out of hand these last three, 4 days, and good for them. But it puts the Packers in an interesting predicament of, do you want to get into that $5 to $6 million conversation for Tremont Williams? It'll probably be a little bit more cut and dry if they had another hand-picked successor on the perimeter. Casey Hayward could potentially do that, but he hasn't been proven. I think Micah Hyde's more of a slot guy. Demetri Goodson, we haven't seen him defensively yet. So if Tremont Williams slips through their fingers, the Packers are going to have to address that, whether it's in the draft, whether it is, you know, finding one of these free agent cornerbacks that they think has some potential. That's a big position, and it's interesting given how deep they've been the last few seasons. You know, there is a little bit of insecurity there now. And, you know, I'm guessing the Packers are still in on the negotiation. I know there's been multiple teams involved in that right now, and we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But it's interesting, considering you had a guy like Tremont Williams all these years has been such a, you know, sturdy guy at that position. He's only missed one start. And suddenly there's kind of a threat that he might go.
I'm just spitballing here, but, you know, Tremont Williams hasn't signed with the New Orleans Saints yet, and the report this morning is the Saints are also bringing in Brandon Browner, that according to Adam
right.
Schefter of ESPN. The other teams that were interested reportedly in Williams, the Eagles and the Seahawks, have both signed high-priced cornerbacks in free agency. I don't know. The market seems to be shrinking. Is Tremont Williams going to have to adjust his expectations here about what he can receive in terms of getting $5 to $6 million a year?
Yeah, exactly, Brian. I mean, that's kind of the catch-22, is that all these guys have flown off the market for really good money when you look at Maxwell and you know, Jackson, all these guys, even Brandon Flowers. And now you have Tremont Williams, who's kind of the last sort of ledge of that, even with, you know, Devon signing yesterday, at least agreeing to an agreement. So you're right in that accord. I mean, it will be interesting. You know, he was kind of using it, it sounded like, at least based on the reports, you know, Seattle is leveraged, Philadelphia is leveraged. And now those teams have gone away. I can't imagine John Snyder, after giving Kerry Williams 3 years, $18 million, that he's going to go out and sign yet another cornerback, especially with some of the things that they have going on there with Russell Wilson coming up now for an extension, you know, this offseason or soon after. So Tremont Williams is going to be an interesting predicament. And he also has to think about, you know, the familiarity of Green Bay, the kind of situation he's been in, knows Joe Witt, has had a big hand in his development as well. And at this point in his career, does he want to pick up and move and, you know, go and do something else? We've seen a lot of guys, especially when they get into that 30-year-old age range, you know, leave Green Bay and not have the same kind of success they've had before, having to adjust to a new defense or a new, you know, quarterback or just whatever the situation may be. I think the Packers are definitely going to stay in on this. They've been monitoring the situation the entire time. The same thing they did with Devon House before, I think they just realized they weren't going to be able to play ball with him. And as far as what the market was going to pay him. And I'm guessing they're going to take a long, hard look at Tremont Williams. They're going to say, go out, see what you can get, talk to Rodney Williams, his agent, and try to find a number that might work. But until then, that's probably the last piece of this. I think, you know, whatever happens with B.J. Raji or LaTroy Guyon, Tremont Williams, I think, is the last tier of those top-tier players that are going to have a lot of value to other teams. So we'll have to see if this ends up being something where the Saints or another team brings them in for a visit and how long the situation stretches out. But, again, the Packers, that's the one position that if they can't get him back, they're going to have to find some way to augment it.
Okay, the word is that both Cobb and Bulaga turned down more money to return to Green Bay, but Devon House didn't. So my question, I guess, is, you know, why Cobb and Bulaga, but not House?
Yeah, it really seemed to me like House, it maybe was even more than money for him in terms of wanting to get a starting job and a chance to prove he was a starter. Just hearing him over the course of the season.
But he would be a starter if they don't re-sign Tremont Williams.
Yeah, no question. But I think it comes down to Brian. Like, he's just a guy that had wanted that opportunity. And as I think he kind of told Paul yesterday, you know, he felt like he was just another guy in Green Bay. And now in Jacksonville, he'll have that shot. Now, as you said, if Tremont Williams doesn't come back, he's obviously the guy. But I think there was a lot of things in play for Devon House. So one thing I kind of enjoyed about covering him is he kind of really did speak his mind for the most part. He said when he was frustrated or when, you know, something, you know, kind of wasn't working his way. And you look at guys like Bulaga, Cobb, probably a different tiered player, you know, also a proven player who the Packers have paid, you know, pretty handsomely for what they do. And, you know, a guy like House was always that situational kind of sub-package guy. He never really did have that shot. And when he did, you know, either it was an inconsistency issue or an injury issue, it seemed like. And maybe it was just something where he felt like he needed a fresh start. There's obviously a lot of different things that can go into that. But as you said, I mean, he certainly 4 years between $6 and $6.25 million. I think it was, what, $10 million guaranteed? For a guy that was a guy who played defensively 33% of the snaps last year, that's not a bad payday. And you know, obviously he felt, and his agent felt, that, you know, Jacksonville and the direction they were heading was going to be best for him.
Okay, let's Wes, let's go a little bit rapid fire here with some of these guys that maybe not quite going to command the dollar amount that some of the guys we've been talking about here, the restricted free agents. The Packers did not tender either wide receiver Jarrett Boykin or running back DeJuan Harris. Any surprises there?
No, not on either accord. The Packers really seemed determined to use that number three running back spot as a kickoff returner. And it didn't work out with Jonathan Franklin up until his injury, of course. And it didn't work out with DeJuan Harris. Didn't really get a chance to see him run the ball that much. He ran fine, it seemed like, in Chicago, but that was kind of mop-up minutes. That didn't surprise me. Jarrett Boykin, probably, you know, right there with Brandon Bostic for the biggest disappointments of last season. A great career for him so far, considering he was an undrafted free agent that came to Green Bay on tryout. But going from 49 receptions to 3 last year, 3 drops if you go off Pro Football Focus, took a giant step back. And with the depth that they have now with Aberderis, Janis, you know, Adams, Miles White coming back, wasn't a surprise at all to see him, you know, get let go.
I'm curious. Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you know, he wasn't afraid to write that Boykin wasn't speaking with the media this past season. Maybe that's his own personal interaction with Bob McGinn. Did you have any interaction with Jarrett Boykin? Did you sense any discontent?
Yeah, that is still going to go down, Brian, as one of the strangest situations I think I've occurred on the beat. Jarrett was great last year. He was actually great in training camp. I did a story, I think a lot of people did a story, about his aspirations and what he wanted to accomplish. And when things went south, he took an interesting approach. He just stopped talking to us, and nobody reported him. I don't think it meant it was important enough for anybody to go to the, you know, the NFL or anything. But We attempted. I think we all tried. Okay. I think it almost got to be kind of a laughing situation between some of the reporters, but he felt like he didn't need to chat with us. That was fine. You know, I think in some ways that might have helped his own case, too, to kind of say his perspective and what exactly was going on.
Interesting. The players the Packers did tender were offensive lineman Don Barclay and safety Sean Richardson. Are these guys worth $1.5 million a season?
Yeah, I don't know. Just from the terms of, if you look at Jamari Lattimore last year, $1.4 million. But if it was came down to like Lattimore last year, where they were afraid they were going to lose him if they didn't tender him, much like Tom Crabtree a year before that, I think it made sense. They have the cap room. Barclay's coming off that knee surgery, but you know, this is a guy that has been really versatile for them. It showed last year when he wasn't there how much they struggled to fill that right tackle spot, or at least to get, you know, consistent play. That wasn't going to hamper him at that spot. Sherrod and Shredder both struggled when they went in there. Richardson was a little bit more of a surprise, I think, just because, you know, he really didn't have a big role before on the defense. Obviously, they incorporated that big OP package this year. And he led the team in special teams tackle. So they're going in a new direction there. It gives them, it keeps that you know, that next reserve at safety available behind Morgan Burnett and Clinton Dix. And they feel pretty good about his development, so they'll get another good look at him and decide next year if they want to give either of those guys a long-term deal.
Wes, appreciate your insight. Appreciate you taking longer than I told you I'd be talking to you, so appreciate your time. Thanks a lot, and thanks for your insight on free agency.
Yeah, no problem, man. I can get a little long-winded, so that's probably on me as well. So.
Well, you can be long-winded all you want. The more content we get, the better, but thanks a lot, Wes.
All right, no problem, Brian. Talk to you soon, bud.
Take care. Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning, just hours after the opening of NFL free agency. And with that, let's just get to
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday, word is that the Packers signed offensive lineman Brian Bulaga, a 5-year deal averaging just south of $7 million. Apparently the word is $6.7 million per season on average. I know Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported that. Again, there's so many reporters out there. I apologize if anybody else reported that as well or who was first or whatever, but this has not been made official yet, has not crossed the NFL's transaction wire, and maybe it's just a matter of time before it does today. The Packers have not officially announced it yet, but I think yesterday they were busy, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, so to speak, and finalizing the details on the contract and getting everything done. But the Packers, you know, if you want my opinion here, that's what I'm going to spend my time doing now that we're done talking to our guest. My views on the topic here. The Packers, I think they met priorities 1 and 2 in free agency, priorities A and B. That is re-signing Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga, keeping those guys in the fold. I thought all along that they were priorities A and B, just because it's not that I wouldn't welcome either Devon House or Tremont Williams back, but if you look at the situation at cornerback, I just think, okay, the Packers, that they had a little bit more depth there than other position. You know, who are the guys guaranteed to be back in 2015 at cornerback? You got Sam Shields. You got Casey Hayward. You got Micah Hyde. You got Demetri Goodson. You got any rookies they're going to add. I think the Packers were in a little bit better shape there at cornerback. Now, what would happen, though, if all of a sudden Randall Cobb were to leave or Brian Bulaga were to leave, especially Bulaga? I mean, what, you're looking at Don Barclay as your starter at right tackle? You're looking at J.C. Treader? Neither of these guys have really proved themselves to be solid guys without a doubt. They've done okay in spurts. J.C. Treader certainly looked good in preseason at center, but not necessarily at tackle. Don Barclay's kind of done well as a fill-in, but as a full-time guy, he's just not, you know, I don't think at the level of the other guys on the line, at least. And And I'm not, you know, throwing in the towel on them. They're young. They can develop. They can become good starters. It's just that Brian Bulaga is at a level ahead of them. So I thought the Packers, they met priorities A and B. They brought him back. And for Brian Bulaga in particular, which, you know, the news that went down yesterday that everybody was kind of following, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, they kept the offensive line intact. Head coach Mike McCarthy has talked so much about the continuity on the offensive line, and Wes Hodkowitz did a good job kind of, you know, detailing that, especially how Brian Bulaga came back from injury. And, you know, he got injured in the season opener last year, and he came back. He missed one game, missed week two, and he started from there on out, and so did everybody else on the Packers offensive line. And that kind of continuity was kind of, you know, one of the keys to their performance. And really, it kind of goes beyond the offensive line. I'll get to that in a moment. I asked, you know, kind of seeing the writing on the wall a little bit, back at the NFL Combine, I personally asked Mike McCarthy about the situation at tackle, knowing Brian Bulaga was a free agent, Don Barclay was a restricted free agent. You know, both these guys have injury situations, a little bit of uncertainty there. Asked Mike McCarthy his opinion on the tackle situation. And here's what he had to say. I'm sorry there's a little bit of competing audio here in the background. That's just necessary at the NFL Combine, as you'll hear. But here's Mike McCarthy's response.
How do you view the tackle position? Brian's going to be a free agent. Don's a free agent. And coming off injury, JC moves all over. There's some uncertainty there.
Mississippi State. I like the way our board looks right now. I mean, it'd just be nice to get, you know, to get our own free agents back. And you know, our offensive line group is, this is, like I said, not just the starting five that we've had, but this is probably or clearly the best group that we've had here. So, can't say it enough. We like to sign our own free agents back.
So that's from Mike McCarthy, and he didn't sound too concerned at the time about the tackle situation. Just basically saying, we'd like our free agents back, and that's exactly what happened. They got their free agents back. Now, Don Barclay, restricted free agent, still free to test the market. The Packers now have the right of first refusal. They can match any offer he may receive. So technically not re-signed yet, or at least I didn't hear if he did re-sign. I doubt, you know, those restricted free agents, they usually, you know, wait just in case. They'll hear other offers and take more money if it comes along, and the Packers may just match it. So there's no harm in trying as far as that concerned. But you know, talked about the offensive line. These guys are going to be intact for at least the next two seasons. Now, assuming, you know, healthy, whatever, assuming good health, you know. Everybody is under contract through at least 2016, left to right. David Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton, Corey Linsley, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga. And not just that, now that you've locked up Randall Cobb as well, the Packers have their top five wide receivers all under contract through at least 2016. Their quarterback, their running back, Eddie Lacy, and assuming Richard Rodgers, last year's rookie, is your starter, he's under contract through 2016 as well. There is some awesome continuity going on the entire Packers offense. Talk about the window for a championship. It is now, while these guys are all working together, gaining cohesiveness, and just knowing absolutely, you know, what needs to happen for these guys to win championships. You know, Aaron Rodgers working with the same guys day in and day out, getting to know them. The time is now for the Packers to start winning championships, at least on the offensive side of the football. Still some question marks there on the defensive side, and we'll get to that. But the offensive side is looking pretty good. The other news is yesterday, Devon House reportedly leaving, getting the deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's actually hooking up with his former college coach, Dwayne Walker, who was, when House was in college, Dwayne Walker was the head coach at New Mexico State, had since been fired. but is now the secondary coach in Jacksonville. So kind of a reuniting there between House and Walker. And you have to understand that, you know, that probably played a little bit into why he wanted to go there. And the Jags, you know, people make fun of the Jags a lot, but they went and spent some big money in free agency. You can argue too much, but they went out and signed tight end Julius Thomas. They've got a young up-and-coming Blake Bortles there, who I think is going to be a good young quarterback. And you know, the Jaguars might be a team on the rise. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that, but you can understand maybe why Devon House was interested there and, you know, becoming basically an unquestioned starter in Jacksonville, whereas it may have been more competition in Green Bay opposite Sam Shields. You know, Casey Hayward's going to be vying for that position. So is Devon House. And who knows with Tremont Williams if they bring him back or not. But Devon House leaving. So those things look to be official. Like I said, haven't come across the NFL's transaction wire yet, but it looks to be only a matter of time before they do. So now our next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers on this Wednesday, Tremont Williams is currently in New Orleans, or he was at last look, if anything is broken. In the past half hour since I've been on air, I haven't seen it yet. And sometimes during the opening of free agency, things can move rather quickly. But anyway, I asked Twitter right before the show, what do you think Tremont Williams is going to get in his next contract? And kind of just interesting because we talked about it with Wes Hodgkiewicz, you know, Devon House, or pardon me, Tremont Williams wanting $5 to $6 million a year. I don't know if he's going to get that or not. It's possible he will. He can command that much. But, you know, what do you think he ultimately ends up signing for? And the answers are all over the board. And in fact, here, I'll just throw out a couple figures that I received. Here we go. John Rahor on Twitter's 3 years, $18 million. That is an average of $6 million. So I believe that is the highest answer I ever got. And then here's another one as well. Ross Uglum on Twitter, 2 years, $8.75 million from the Packers. That is an average of a little over $4 million a year. I believe that is the lowest answer or response I got from anyone. We're talking little over $4 million a year to $6 million a year. A lot of different answers here and a range. We'll see what he ends up ultimately signing for. Some other quick answers in between here from Pegleg Pilot on Twitter, 3 years, $16.5 million. Patrick Ballweg on Twitter says $4 million a year. Justin Jablonski says about $4.5 to $5.5 million per year. And Packer Dan 77 just simply says too much. Do You Rant says 2 years, $9.25 million. Joe at Work 87 on Twitter says if he's offered 3 years, $15 million, he should take it and run. All answers all over the board here in regards to Tremont Williams, but I'm excited to find out what he actually does. I myself said on Twitter before the show, the longer Tremont Williams remains a free agent, I think the better the chances are he returns to Green Bay. It probably won't take long to find out here. So we'll see what happens with Tremont Williams as he remains on the free agent market. Probably the next guy on the Packers' to-do list in terms of who they're, you know, focusing on signing. You know, all these other guys are now off the market. Devon House, gone. Belaga, Cobb, Tolzien, they're all back. The restricted free agents have been tendered or not tendered at all. They're severing ties with them. So you got to imagine among who's left, the Packers going to focus on Tremont Williams first, and then afterwards take care of, you know, probably maybe B.J. Raji next, LaTroy Guyon. That might play out for a while just simply because of Guyon's legal situation. But fullback, John Kuhn, who else is out there? Linebacker, Jamari Lattimore. We'll see what happens with these guys. as the Packers continue to go work their way through free agency. By the way, just to toot my own horn here, if you listen to our free agency predictions episode last Friday of Railbird Central when we had Scott McKenna on the show, of all the deals that have been happened so far, I have 100% predicted whether every Packers player would return or not correctly thus far. So I take that as a badge of pride for myself. People are probably sick of me saying that and wondering why I'm pumping myself up. But the proof is there. It was published before the start of free agency. And anyway, I'll take it. It's interesting. If you're wondering, I said Tremont Williams will not be back. My mind is, you know, since Devon House left, the longer Williams is out there, my mind is changing. I think it's more likely he comes back to Green Bay. But I said originally Tremont Williams would leave. Still kind of wondering about some of the other guys who, you know, deals have not been done yet. Like I said, Raji, Guyon, guys like that. We'll find out what happens. But elsewhere in the world of the Green Bay Packers on this Wednesday, it is Wisconsin's annual pro day, the University of Wisconsin. Typically, general manager Ted Thompson is there personally in attendance every year. I'm wondering if just this year, just because of the date it fell on the calendar, maybe he won't be there this year because of the start of free agency. Ted Thompson might be otherwise busy today, but just kind of interesting that normally he is there and this year may not get a chance to take a look at guys like Melvin Gordon, like Rob Havenstein. Ted Thompson did get a chance to see them at the NFL Combine, so I'm sure the Packers will have a representative there, especially at being in state and not a far drive from Green Bay at all. I just don't know who that'll be, who they'll be sending there, a scout or some guy from the personnel department. We'll find out, but that'll be happening today. You can look for that'll be coming across your social media feeds how guys like Melvin Gordon are doing as they run their 40s and bench presses and all that. Melvin Gordon will probably pass on that stand on his numbers from the combine, but maybe some of the other guys from the University of Wisconsin. Anyway, that's what's happening with the world of the Green Bay Packers. Thank you, everybody, to listening to Railbird Central episode 501 today. Had our milestone episode 500 on Monday. Glad to just be continuing the streak here and carrying on. We come to you every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV, podcasted later in the day. My call to action, if you have not already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask of you. We have no paywall at Cheesehead TV, no subscriptions. You could do us a solid. The one small thing we ask, give us a rating on iTunes. Helps get the word out, helps people discover us, and makes the show even better. We'll see you later, folks. We'll be back again on Friday. My guest then will be, I've already set it up, Eric Galco of OptimumScouting.com, one of the best guys covering the NFL draft. We'll get his thoughts on what is happening on the pro day circuit, things like that. Maybe ask him about some of these guys from the University of Wisconsin. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
Well, I ain't going back to the city no more. Staying right here on the farm. I drank that good corn liquor from a jar. And holds you in my